CSRFT cross-site request forgery toolkit. Okay, I always misspell that stuff when I try to read it out. Okay, Paul Armer, enjoy. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. So my name is Paul Armer, and it seems that I'm the only student here to present a talk. Actually, I've been selected through the U21 program, Call for Papers, even if I'm a bit older, but, well, still a student. And my talk is going to be about a toolkit I've written and developed for cross-site request forgery vulnerabilities and attacks. So just before starting, I'd like to know, just raise your hand if you're not familiar with those kind of web vulnerabilities. Okay. well, first of all, I'm just going to provide a brief recap just to be sure that we've got the same base of knowledge about this. Then the second part will be some motivations for creating such a toolkit and why I wanted to do this. Then there will be some demos, at least there are two. So actually, I just developed a basic web application, which is based on Codeigniter, a PHP framework. And I'm just going to launch some attacks to show you how it can work and all the features which are, well, in the tool. And then to conclude, highlight some issues which are, in web application that I just found browsing on the internet. And I think that it's quite of really important. So just before diving into the code and all those stuff, I'm just going to present myself. So as you maybe noticed it with my accent, well, I'm French. French student, last year of master, obviously in computer science. Passionate about security and challenges, like new coding stuff. And here to present you, so a personal project, so nothing related with my studies. I just do it on my spare time. And here is my GitHub username. So I just pushed all the code 6 hours ago or something, so you can just go on GitHub, and there should be the official release of the tool. So we can start just with a brief recap. So as you can see it here, there is the form with asking twice for the new password of the user, which is logged on the platform. So just after you type it, obviously it's going to be the same. You're going to be, you're just going to click on save, and there will be a post request, which will be sent, a post HTTP request. So you can see there is a submit, which is equals to save, password 1, password 2, they have to be equal, and then the server is just going to process the update stuff. And as you can see here, the main problem is that there is absolutely no generated parameters inside the HTTP request. So it means that an attacker, a pirate, could manage to replay this attack by just creating a form, and this form could be, embedded in some iframe. Then he could just send it to the victim, and the victim is going to load the page, submit the form, and then you know what is going to happen. He's just going to update his password, and he's going to start to cry. So just the quick use case is the user is going to just send a request to some legit website sent by the attacker. Then the legit website obviously contains some payload, which is inside the page. So the payload will be sent to the victim, some resources. So it's going to be actually some HTML content most of the time. And the victim is going to send an unwanted request to get all those resources. So it could be, an image if you want to do a GET request, or it could be a form which is embedded into an iframe and then with auto-submit, etc. So you can manage to spoof post requests as well. Actually, here, the main problem is that we are kind of hijacking the victim's session. So the assumption is that the user is logged on the web platform, and then you can just, convince him to just send some HTTP request using his own session. So you can change his password and do a lot of nasty actions, So the basic scenario is, as a pen tester, you're going to try to find a website which is going to be vulnerable to such a CSRF attacks. You're going to target a form or a URL. And then the request will be just blind. So it means that you will not be able to get the result. So when you just have an iframe with some form, you cannot access the content after because of some policy which are embedded into the browser, same origin policy. So there is absolutely no modularity. It means that if you want to replay 20 times the same request but with different parameters, you have to write 20 files, 20 HTML files, including all the time the parameters which will be different. So actually, you cannot do that. It's going to be really like time-consuming, except if you got some custom scripts. And here I am for the talk to present you my own script and actually how you can manage to create some, let's say, advanced CSRF attacks. So the motivation for creating such a toolkit, well, actually, I wanted something which was lightweight, so I didn't want to install Apache or Nginx. I wanted to provide something for the people behind the websites, just to provide them some fast proof of concept. I wanted something generic, so it could fit all the forms and all the kind of attacks that you could have. So actually, I'm just speaking about the GET and a POST, because otherwise you can manage to use put and delete, etc. Like if you want to target, let's say, a REST API, but then you need some XSS injection inside the code to manage to send some other request. And we'll just talk about it at the end as well. So I wanted also something which was multi-platform, so that you could use on, well, every platform you wanted. Open source, so the code has been released under license GPLv3. So just take a look and dive into the code, and if you want just to take it, well, do not hesitate. And the last thing was I wanted something dedicated to only CSRF vulnerabilities. Well, actually, I wanted something really light. The result was there was absolutely no such existing toolkit, so I decided to create my own. So now let's just talk about the magic which is behind. So how does it work? The victim is going to load some website's homepage. So there is a website which is infected. It's going to load some malicious JavaScript. And then the JavaScript will be executed by the client, and there will be a communication. So the communication is done by some AJAX, and the format of the communication is using, the format is JSON. And then it will just manage to gather all the attacks and process them inside the DOM. So actually, it's just doing some AJAX, getting all the attacks, and then inserting them into the DOM, and it's executed by the victim. So the victim at the end sends unwanted request. Using this session. That's the purpose. So here we are. Let's talk about the technical stuff which is behind. So the HTTP server is fully written using Node.js. So it has been quite a challenge for me because I didn't know this technology before. And yeah, it was a challenge and I liked it. Then there was some JavaScript which is loaded, as we saw it earlier, when the user visits the website, the infected websites. And you can be able to generate HTTP requests. So actually, to generate and spoof some GET HTTP request, I'm just inserting some images inside the DOM, and then you can just start and send some GET HTTP request. Then for the POST, it was a bit more of a challenge because I didn't want to create a HTML file, as much as I wanted. So what I did is they are created automatically by the server. We're going to talk about the process later. And light and understandable, 230 lines of code, even less, including all the comments. So you can definitely dive into the code, and I guess it's not going to be too hard to understand it. I hope so. So the features, you can definitely do two kind of attacks. Sorry for the typo. Yeah, I didn't see it before. So there is the special value. So it means that if you want to, we can take the form we saw earlier with the new passwords that is asked twice. So definitely we know what kind of password we want to put, like let's say DeepSec rocks or something. So this is a special value, and we can just define it inside the form. And yeah, otherwise you can do some dictionary attack. Let's say if you want to do some, I don't know, yeah, dictionary attack on some login form or something. And as I said, there is a communication between the victim and the server, so it's using AJAX. And there are really two main URLs that you need to know. So the first is /exploit, which is the one to get all the different payload, actually, that you want to execute. And then for some form, then you're just going to create an iframe, and the source of the iframe will be server/payload/x/epsilon, and the word is going to be something which will be included into the form. I'm just going to show you later. And the last feature of the toolkit is to be able to create some scenarios. So what are the scenario? The scenario is just an attack schema. So what does it do? It's just composed of attacks that can be launched at the same moment or different moment. Let's just take this example. So you want first to try to log the user in, and only after you want to try to send to make it send some request to give you the administrator privileges. Okay, but only after the login process. So a concrete example, can you see it? Oh. Yeah, well, actually you got a scenario here which is composed of two attacks. So the first attack is using the method post. The type of attack is dictionary. You're going to use a file, actually, which is included the range of numbers from 0 to 20. The form is DeepSec form change password. And the other attack is going to be a method get to be able to log out the user. So let's show the demonstration. So the two demonstrations are just completely different. I'm using the same web platform, but let's just assume that it's two different platforms and nothing related. So the first one, we want to target the administrator of the website. He uses either, let's say, a static IP or a private one. So it could be actually a router interface, okay, which is only reachable on 192.168.0.1. Let's take this example. And we want him to give us administrator privilege. And then we want to disconnect him. So let's just try it. OK. So you got one VM, one virtual machine, which is running Kali Linux. OK, just OK, so here, as you can see, we can just take a look of the application, which has been, you know, just a silly application which has been developed to show you the basic kind of tricks you can do with this tool. So you can edit the configuration. Edit the configuration so you can change the password. There is the contact list. Okay, you can downgrade and upgrade the user, delete the account, etc. Okay. So I'm just going to log out. So actually here, I'm just going to maybe. Okay, so we got this scenario, which is composed of three attacks. So the first one is we're going to try to do attempts to connect the admin on the platform, because let's assume it was not. Okay, then we're going to try to upgrade our account, and then we want to disconnect him. So for him, it's going to be completely invisible. Okay. So, okay. I just ran the Node.js with the configuration file, which is in JSON as well. I wanted to use homogeneous technology, such as Node.js, JavaScript, JSON, etc. And yeah, it was really nice. So it's listening on the port 8080. So an attacker could manage to, let's say, route a webmail or something, and then in the index or the welcome page, he could just insert an embedded iframe, and then all the payload would be executed. So. So this is the home page here of the just of the project, but you could manage to change it and do everything you want. So here we got all the information. Actually here the first attack is to try to attempt to log in the user in. So it's trying with different passwords. It means that it's the same login form, but we are giving the parameter inside this URL. So password 123456, which are actually the top 20 passwords, and the user is actually just with the script, it just inserts some iframes, and then some HTTP POST requests are just sent to the web platform. So the second attack was to give us the privileges, and then we logged out the user. So we can just close this. We can refresh. So actually, for the admin, nothing changed. So I just logged as the admin, contact list, and now the user DeepSec is now admin. So this is the, I can even log here. Okay. So this was the first demonstration. The second one is, for example, if you want to target as much users as you want, well, as you can, you want them to change their password, okay? And the form is using some generated params, and actually the parameters, you just don't know them. And then you want to disconnect them from the platform. So just take a look here. Admin. Edit configuration. And actually here on the page, you can see the username of the person, which is admin, the password, and then you got, let's say, kind of a token. And if you refresh the page, it's changing all the time. But the range is starting from 0 to 10, two times, and you just add the two numbers. So actually the range is from 0 to 20. Okay. Yeah well. I'm not going to show the source code, but yeah, I think you got the idea. So what we can try to do is just DeepSec, change the password, and I can even show you the... So actually, we're just going to ask we're going to force the user, the administrator, to go on the page welcome/edit. Then we're going to try to change his password with doing dictionary attack with the number 0 to 20, because that's the only parameter that you don't know in the request. You know the password. You just don't know the value of the let's say, the token. And then we want to disconnect the user, the administrator. So I just rent it. So we go back to the page. So the communication is just doing it every 5 seconds, but definitely you can change it. So the first attack was to get on the page /edit to edit the configuration. Then we send all the requests, the post HTTP request, to change the password with the different numbers. Well, actually, it's going from 1 to 20, and then the logout. So I can just kill it. And then here, if I refresh the page, I've been logged out. And if I try again, the password was admin, it's not working anymore. Okay, and the password I just put was DeepSec rocks. So let's try this. and we logged it into the platform. So that was the second demonstration. Let's talk now about the architecture issues. So after the login, the application may be vulnerable to other attacks. And actually, I saw only few websites inserting some tokens inside the forms. So basically, with this kind of toolkit, you can manage to do a lot of HTTP requests to try to do some dictionary attack, let's say with the top 20 password or something, and you can definitely maybe try to harm a lot of users. So actually, it's not going to work for a website which just has, I don't know, maybe 5 users. But if you take a big forum which has more than 2,000 users, definitely you can manage to harm a lot of users. So that's the first one. And the second one is, I think you already saw it maybe, it's asking for the auth password. This is funny because in this example, they don't have any token, they just want the old password. So the new password, you know it, that's the password one. Password two, it's the same, you just have to retype it. That's the password you want to put. And then the only thing you don't know is the old password. So basically you can manage to do some dictionary attack, as I did it earlier, and then you can manage to, let's say, do some attacks from the inside. So if you just check the log, you're gonna see that a legit user is trying to just change his password, and well, you should definitely have some mechanism, disallowing those kind of attempts. For example, just 5 attempts, and then you block the user, or do something. So the mitigations for this. The most used mechanism for the moment is to use a request token, which is like a SHA-1 or a MD5, a token which is random generated, which is calculated on the server side, and then just inserted into the form. So that's the most used. Then you got the re-authentication, but the problem is if you don't have any policy for the password and the password is weak, then it's not going to be reliable. And otherwise, you got other techniques such as a CAPTCHA, timeout for the session, or even some extensions that you can add inside your browser, such as NoScript. Maybe you know it. So this is actually a really, really good one. To do my tests, so I did it on Kali, and then I tried with Firefox and Google Chrome, and it was working like no problem. The Google Chrome was just 2 weeks ago, was the release, 2 weeks ago. So. Actually, the future development I want to do is actually a proxy-like. So it would mean that you could manage to ask for some websites, and then the Node.js HTTP server, or then it would be a proxy, then would just insert some JavaScript, and then the communication will operate on every website you just go. You got some JavaScript which is injected. Other method of attacks, and if you have any idea, just do not hesitate, ask me, and I could try to do it. And definitely an automatic tool to deploy the platform and your environment. So it would mean that if you know that there is a form which is vulnerable to CSRF, you can manage to just launch a Python script which will load the Node.js HTTP server and everything. Then you could manage to show it to your client or either your company if they have some issues with CSRF. Actually, the mechanism behind this is really similar to BEEF, and I think everybody here knows BEEF. Yeah, okay, I will assume so. So this is a browser exploitation framework, and I just plan to create a module for creating a module which is enough generic for all kind of CSRF attacks. Moreover, it would be really interesting because with BEEF, because mostly you got some XSS injection, then now you could be able to play with the other HTTP requests such as puts and delete, etc., and just call some APIs, etc. It could be really, really interesting. So I'm gonna try to do it in the next few weeks. And just before ending the presentation, I'd just like to thank one of my colleagues, Mikołaj Palikowski, who helped me a lot with the with all the development, and they gave me really good advices. And all the program committee, including René, Suzanne, etc., because it's really important for such a conference to just invite some students just to present our work. And yeah, I just hope it was worth it, that you liked it. And thanks for listening and your attention. And if you have any questions, just feel free to ask, and I'm just going to try to answer it. So thanks a lot.
How do you recognize that your login was successful?
Well, actually, you can't, because the HTTP request that you are doing using CSRF attacks is completely blind, so you cannot do it. The assumption is, at this moment, is that the user is using a weak password. So that's the...
Yes, but you're firing thousands of requests, and then you hope that some is successful and just the cookies exchange, and the others don't. So the requests afterwards don't disturb the first one. I mean, it could be that he's locked out afterwards after sending the same request again. You know what I mean? I sent 10,000 requests, and request 500 is successful, but request 501 sends a wrong password, and he's locked out again.
But the thing is, when you're gonna just log in into the platform, okay, just tell me if I understood it clearly or not. But when you're just gonna log into the platform, then you're gonna maybe send, let's say, 2,000 requests with another password, but the application, the information system will just drop them because you're already logged into the platform. Did I understand it clearly? Or?
Yes, and it might just throw the cookie away. If you then send the wrong password, you try a new login.
Okay, I see. Mm-hmm.
The 501th request.
But, yeah, I'm not sure that a lot of web applications are using this way. I don't know. I should try it.
I mean, you have to investigate it with routers. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. If you attack a usual web application, you can brute force it your own. I mean, it only makes sense for applications which are in some intranet or in some home router configuration. So otherwise, you don't need a cross-site request for tree. I mean, in a web application, you can brute force them yourself. You don't need this.
But I think it's working as well on routers. Just take a look. But I think that it's working on Netgear, etc. It should work.
And another question: how can you manage to get a put request on for cross-site request for tree?
You cannot manage to do it using CSRF, but if you just couple it with an XSS injection, you can manage to send some put requests.
Yes, but if you have an XSS, it's impossible to protect against cross-site request for tree.
That's right.
Yes, but then, hey.
That's right. Yeah. But then
you don't need your dump cross-site request for tree toolkit. If you have a cross-site scripting anyway, hey, everything's open.
Yeah, but I think that using such a module would just help you to just create some scenarios and some attacks. I think it can be reliable to just use those kinds of structure. Well. I don't know. Yeah.
Any more questions? Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.